Chris and I were asked to do this workshop on encouragement, and we were told that we are both good at encouraging others, so that's what qualified us. And there is a little verse in Romans 12:8 that says, if your gift is encouragement, it says, let her encourage or let him encourage. So if you know that you have the ability to encourage others, you're just supposed to just do that. So we're looking forward to this time. It's going to be real informal. We want you to just be involved and share and encourage all of us together. So we're going to get started. And another little reason that we are excited about doing this together is that for Chris and I, in this world that we live in, at this time in our life, we have really enjoyed encouraging one another. And we really need one another.
We do.
And she's my friend. And we just feel really safe doing this together. So.
Yeah, we really do.
So we're excited about this opportunity, and we're glad you're here. And Chris is going to pray for us.
Okay. Yeah. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the great encourager. And we thank you, Lord, that we can be together now and that we can encourage one another. And we can look into your word, and we can share honestly and vulnerably and just grow and learn together. We want to be our best for you, and we pray that you would help us, each one of us, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, maybe you can't, I think. Well, maybe you can.
We'll have it falling over.
Maybe it'll come over. I remember when I was doing something that I was feeling really apprehensive about. It was the last April. In fact, I was sharing, at a large women's conference for the US work, and I was really apprehensive. And I can remember I was with my daughter. We were sharing a room together, and she'd come with me. And then I remember finding Susan just the night before, late the night before, stuck a little note in my hand. And it was, Chris, I want you to know that God's going to be with you. And, you know, just that encouragement of a couple of verses and pointing me to the Lord. And so many times, you know, Susan's been that kind of friend. She just phoned up, how's your day looking today? Do you want to go out and have a walk? And I can say, no, it's too full. Or, yeah, but only for half an hour. You know, you can be absolutely honest with that kind of a friend and that kind of an encourager. I'd like to share what has really motivated me, a Bible character. I don't know if you have a favorite Bible character. Does anybody? I'm sure you do. But I did a study back in Africa. We were out in Africa for about 16 and a half years. And I did a study on some of the Bible characters, and we had to put their strengths and their weaknesses. And I can remember finding a new lease of life in realizing I want to be a Jonathan. I want to be a Jonathan. And I'll tell you why. If you turn to 1 Samuel with me, 1 Samuel 23. And verse 15 and 16. Let me just read those two verses. Have we got them? It says, while David was in Horesh, in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come to take his life. Now, I don't know if many of you have been in that situation where someone's tried to take your life. We've had armed robbers and different things in Africa, but I think it's sometimes not those kind of things that are as hard as feeling we're under attack in some way. But anyway, it says that Saul felt someone had come to take his life, yes. And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him to find strength in God. And that just struck me a lot, that here was Jonathan, quietly, he went out into the woods and he wanted to find David. And we often think of David as the man of God, don't we? More than Jonathan. But it says that he wanted him to find strength in God. Now, if you turn over to chapter 30, and those first few verses there, do you know the story about David when he destroys the Amalekites? I wonder if someone would like to read those verses, just down to verse 6.
Then it happened, when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had made a raid on the Negev and on Ziklag, and had overthrown Ziklag and burned it with fire. And they took captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great, without killing anyone, and carried them off and went their way. And when David and his men came to the city, behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted their voices and wept until there was no strength in them to weep. Now David's two wives had been taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him, for all the people were embittered, each one, because of his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God.
Thanks, Stoney. What were some of the difficulties that David was having? Can you see anything here?
They wanted to stone him.
Right. And who was it who wanted to stone him?
His own people.
And why did they want to stone him?
All their wives and sons have been, and families have been kidnapped, and their cities burned, and they were blaming him for it.
Yeah, yeah. Pardon? Holding him? Yes. Yes, yes. And, you know, I mean, it was hard enough for David to come back and find this himself and then to find his own people turning. And yet I know that sometimes in my own life I can turn to, oh, the navigator's this, or, oh, Mike, that, you know, and it's not anything to do with them. But I sort of find myself going to something like that. But these were difficulties that he was having. Really serious difficulties. And yet, what does it say in that very last sentence that Stormy read for us?
He found his strength in the Lord.
Yes. And David found strength, or I like your version, David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. It's like taking myself in tow and telling myself that I need to find strength in God alone. And I remember reading, I'm a great Amy Carmichael fan. I love her books, Edges of His Ways and A Chance to Die is a very challenging book about her life, and many of her books. But this little bit in Edges of His Way, which I gave my copy to my youngest daughter, and I need to get my own copy, but I can't read it out to you. But she talks about explaining this passage at a time when I was in Africa and I was going to, my eldest daughter was going back to England to study, and we'd made the decision in my head, but then Mike was in Uganda and I had these doubts and fears about, was this really the best decision for her? And I can remember just really crying and being worried about it. And then I went and just knelt down by my bed and was crying, and I picked up Amy Carmichael's Edges of His Way, and it happened to be these two passages. And she said, it is weak encouragement to try to strengthen people, you know, rather than strengthen them in God, to strengthen them in ourselves. She said it much better than I'm remembering. And it's weak encouragement. And that we need to be those who learn to not make ourselves necessary to people, but to so strengthen them in such a way that they learn to find strength in God himself. And I think sometimes it's our own pride, or it's my sense of wanting to be needed, that I want to make people necessary to me. But actually, that's not really what encouragement. So I think the whole subject of encouragement has been quite motivational to me.
Yeah, and I would just add a little bit to that. My own motivation for encouragement is that I'm quite a fearful person myself, and I'm quite timid in a lot of ways. People don't always know that, because I think you kind of learn to do what you have to do. But it's just been a great help to me when others will come alongside of me and help me do what I need to do. And I really like Paul and Barnabas. I was reading recently in Acts and reading through that. And, you know, I just had never really appreciated how much Barnabas did for Paul and how much he was a key figure. I'm not much of a Bible student, but just for Barnabas, it talks about, and if you read through Acts, you'll just be impressed with how many times it says, Paul and Barnabas, Barnabas and Paul and Barnabas, Barnabas and Paul. And it says Barnabas and Paul almost as often as it says Paul and Barnabas. But Paul, of course, is the one that we often remember as being the hero in the faith. And Barnabas he had a wonderful, powerful ministry. And one thing I realized that he used to do for Paul was he served Paul, of course, but he vouched for Paul. You know, he spoke well of him. And he platformed Paul. He actually helped get Paul in the right spot that he needed to be. So if you read through Acts and just notice how important Barnabas was in Paul's life and vice versa. But in Acts 11, there's one little passage where it says he... Somebody want to read Acts 11, 22? Just one little example of what Barnabas' ministry was. And, of course, what do they call... What is his name? What do we know him as? Do you remember? The son of what?
Encouragement.
Somebody want to read that? Just verses 20 and 21 in Acts 11. And just read down through 24. I'm sorry.
Okay. News of this reached the ears of the church of Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all of their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord.
So he had a huge ministry, and what it says he was full of the Holy Spirit. He was a good man. He was full of the Holy Spirit and faith. So we know that Barnabas' faith was a critical part of his ministry. So I think that is just one example that encourages me, but also just the fact that we have such an enemy in the world that we live in. And what is he known for, the enemy?
Discouraged.
Yep. What do they call him? What's one of his titles? Do you remember?
Accuser.
He's the accuser of the brethren. And you know, he never gives up. And so everyone, we're all every day being accused. And I just think, I don't know about you, but I need somebody to come along and speak a little truth into my ear and say, now listen, that's not the truth. You're being accused. So I just believe that everyone needs encouragement every day, all the time. And, you know, we don't always feel so capable of doing it, but we know that the Word of God is always there for us, and we can always go to the Word of God.
I think that I totally agree with Susan. I think we need encouragement all our lives. You know, I realized when I first moved back from Africa to America, you know, Mike and I, it was a lot of culture shock, a big change from Africa. And I can remember thinking, you know, I need to be Mike's number one encourager, you know, and it's a new stage and just sort of what encouragement really means. And I can remember in Africa, people used to talk about evangelism and establishing people in their faith and equipping them, the three E's. And we added a fourth one in Africa. Encouragement, that actually everybody needs encouragement all their life. And just sometime you might be able to just stop after the conference or sometime and think, who are the people that have really been an encouragement in my coming to know the Lord, in befriending me beforehand or later on, and drop them a little note of encouragement yourself or something like that. So, and Philemon is another person. I'll read this verse, Philemon 7. It says, "Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints." So Philemon was another one. Oh, I'll just mention Larry Crabb is coming next time. Yeah, I think that's right,
next
isn't
year?
It, Avis? Yeah, I think so, next year. And I'm sure some of you have read his books on counselling. And, you know, he's great on that. But I read several articles in the last few years where he's talked about what we need are people who can be friends and encourage us and listen to people. That even the church and amongst each other. And I remember someone saying that often you come away more encouraged from being with your hairdresser than you do from anyone else. And maybe she's just there snipping away and listening. And Paul Tournier is a psychologist, a Christian psychologist. And he says that everyone needs to be listened to be taken seriously, and to be understood. And really, that, you know, that's a skill we can grow and learn in. So I wonder if we could just think together as a group. Right? We're a small enough group, and I think we know each other now by the end of the conference a bit, that we could just think, what makes us discouraged? Or what makes your friends discouraged? You know, what are some of the things? Just pool a whole lot of ideas between us.
Problems you feel you can't overcome, possibly.
Yeah, definitely, Lee, yes. Yeah.
Disappointments, expectations that aren't met.
Yeah, yes, disappointments.
Do I need to write them up?
Just no, what do you think? No. Yes. Disappointments, yes.
What else?
Disappointments with ourselves, disappointments with others.
Mm-hmm. Circumstances.
With circumstances.
Broken relationships.
Yeah, that's a big one. I think one thing that always discourages me greatly is whenever I compare myself with anybody else. I always come out on the bottom. Oh, if you come out on the top, then you know you're wrong too. you know that's not the right place to be. I think sickness, illness, you know, things that don't go away. Growing old, I watch my parents, they're in their 87 and 92, and it gets discouraging. Things don't get easier. What else?
Yeah.
The liberal press.
Right, the world we live in.
It's really something that I've been concerned about, you know, the turmoil in our world right now is overwhelming.
Yeah.
And we haven't heard anything at this conference about it to speak of. And, you know, somebody said, oh, I watched the news last night. We don't have a television. Boy, how nice it is not to see the news coming through 3 days. But the suffering in the world that's being caused by the war and the conflicts of nations that don't seem to be trying to work together, it's a tremendous problem.
Yeah, in speaking with that too is that we were talking at a table about, and it has to do with encouragement, is that we don't get in the news any positive,
yes,
hopeful things that they're doing, even in Iraq or,
yes,
or Pakistan.
Yes.
They come and helped, and what nations are really doing positively. And I think we tend to think that news now is only bad news, but there is news. It's like,
There's encouragement.
I mean, the news is something. I just love to hear somebody who's overcome a tragic situation with power and strength in God. And I know last year I met somebody who lost their child, and I was just, it just raised everybody to tears. And I see her this year and think, what positive that she can overcome that incredible tragedy and have strength and maybe will help someone else.
Yes.
And I think, why don't we hear this?
Yeah.
Why don't we share this? Maybe in our life what we think we have had encouragement from, and why don't we hear this in the news? And why don't they understand that people don't always hear the negative. We want to hear the good of our country and what we're doing, and to raise us up and not pull us down. And so I really, when Lee said that, I thought about the things in my life that it meant the most was not the tragic news, but the encouragement and the strength of somebody else being able to know they could get through it and go beyond it and grow from it, or and give strength to others. And that's kind of, I guess,
and
it's so much, you know, it's overwhelming sometimes on all levels, personal and national and worldwide.
Yes, you're absolutely true, Annie, and I think that there's a subtle kind of, you know, I think people often actually, we want to hear the difficult things or the not so nice things. There's something in the sin nature in us that actually it's a sort of double standard there. Otherwise, I don't think they would play to that on the news and everything else.
I think another thing I was thinking of that for me is a heavy thing, and that is when you see the injustice in the world. And, you know, having lived in some of those places.
Yes.
And I remember days where I would be standing in my house in Indonesia and just crying because thinking about the needs and the pain and the suffering that people are going through, and even the fact that they almost like it that way rather than bowing their knee before the Lord. You know, that just choosing rather to keep on living in a lie instead of humbling yourself, you know. For me, sometimes that's just heartbreaking when I see the pain people are in and they won't give up to the Lord. You know, I have a brother like that. I was just with him last weekend. And it's just discouraging sometimes when I think of the pain that he lives with. But will he bow? He's made that choice not to. And sometimes that's discouraging for me.
In Indonesia, what percentage are Christians or Muslim?
Probably, as far as Christian background or from that tradition, probably 15% in a generous amount. The rest are all Muslims. 85 to 90% of the people are Muslim. So I think that, you know, when we try to take those burdens on ourselves, that's discouraging. Of course, it's not the right thing to do.
Any other thoughts from you?
I think for when you look at the children, I think that's one of the things that really discourages me the most. And you see the teenagers, and you see what the world has, the lies that they've been fed, and how they've accepted that, just in dress. And recently we saw a young girl, she couldn't probably been more than 14 or so, and her jeans had chains hanging from them. And so I was asking my granddaughter, who's 16, what's the deal? You know, why would anybody want to wear jeans and then have these chains hanging from them? And she tried to explain to me that it was part of the witchcraft, really.
Really?
You know.
Wow.
And this girl didn't look that way. I mean, otherwise she looked like a pretty normal, wholesome little gal, and yet her costume that she chose
said something different.
You know, said something else. And I just thought, and then you see them with the ripped jeans, and they're paying $100 for these ripped jeans. And
for a parent, especially.
And why and how did it ever come to this? And then what's going to happen next with them?
Yes.
So that's still discouragement to me.
Yes.
I need encouragement about the young people.
Yeah.
I think some of that goes back to all the negative media and all the stuff they get to see on TV and the role models that are flashed before them all the time that aren't decent and good, but it's what they see.
That's right, Ruth. Mm.
And what he was talking about this morning about his, you know, his son saying, I'm drawing, and I can't do it. I think that's discouraging. And Chris, you were going to share this.
I'll just say one other thing that I think for me, learning to know myself is if I get overtired, you know, you just need to know the signals in your own life. I think for me, I realize that, amen, Annie. I think I realize that one of the first things I notice is that I lose perspective. Mm-hmm. And the things that aren't really important become important. Mm-hmm. But it might be irritability, you know, it might be, you know, we just need to learn to be still enough to learn, you know, why did I react like that? You know, what is it? What happened? And pick up those things. And Sue mentioned at the beginning, fear. I think fear can just be an emotional leak or any of those kind of things that can in my own life and can then make me feel discouraged. So those are things to think about. This is an illustration that some of you might have seen. This is, we call it the grace gap. Mike and I, at the end of our time in Africa, found that I think one of the lessons in Africa was God's grace was available for us. You know, God's grace, if someone asks us what's the biggest thing in our time in Africa. But here we have our growth, and here is our, you know, time, day by day, year by year. And what happens is that we are growing in how we should live. You know, we're reading the Bible, we're hearing sermons, we're meeting each other's friends, and we're learning how we, you know, want to grow in our Christian life up here. But the experience of how we do live is like this. Very wavy. Do you experience that, anybody? And I think there's two ways we can handle this. We can either pretend, we can handle this gap that is there. We can either pretend, you know, we can just pretend that, you know, we're better than we are, you know, and we can just try to put our best hand forward. It's sort of a hypocritical life. You know, I can remember when I first got married, you know, Mike came home one day and he opened the cupboard with my clothes and there was a big pile of ironing just on the floor. I just pushed it in the cupboard, you know. And why did I do that? Because I didn't want to be sort of seen with all this big pile and being under it. Hypocrisy. And you know the story of the man with the withered hand? When Jesus says to him, you know, stretch out. What does he say? Stretch out.
Your hand.
Yeah, he just says, stretch out your hand. And I remember thinking, you know, which hand would I put out? You know, I think really often I want to put out my good hand. He didn't say stretch out your withered hand, but the man was honest and vulnerable and needy enough and just open enough to put forward his withered hand and to get the help and healing. So we can either be hypocrites, you know, there, or we can, you know, hide, whichever. Yeah, we can hide in it. But the gap is the grace gap. You know, it's not that we should lower the standard. Jesus says that we should love one another and love each other. This should be an example. It's not that we should lower this and try and compromise and say, well, that was okay when I was a student. You know, it's which then lowers it. But it's appropriating God's grace in our lives and saying, you know, Lord, help me. Now, the other one is how we can apply it to other people. Let me just... I think it was Lee who said, you know, it's our own failures, our own struggles with ourselves that often is the most discouraging. But also our discouragement with other people. So the grace gap in the lives of others. So I think, you know, I know how Anne should live. You know, she's great friend, great Christian. And then in our friendship, if there's something that she lets me down in, I see the lack of being on the same line. You know, someone in your work who lets you down, who's a Christian. and you think, oh, but I thought they wouldn't do that kind of thing. So we need to extend grace to the other people. And Mike talks about reaching up our hand to take hold of God's hand of grace and learning to extend my hand of grace to the other person who lets it me down, our kids, our husband, wife, whatever, all our relationships. So I think that's been just a little encouragement in facing the disappointments of life, the grace gap, remember.
Well, we've been talking about the discouraging things. So now we want to talk a little bit about where does encouragement come from? And why don't we just talk about that for a little bit? What do you think? What really encourages you? Where do you get it when you need it?
Good news.
Good news.
That could be from this or...
Or just good news.
Yeah.
Remembering what God has helped you.
Yeah, that's a big one. Reflecting on...
Yes, it does actually says in the Bible, doesn't it, about the altars, going back to the altars.
What else?
Sometimes I get really encouraged when somebody has thought of me or recognizes something about me and I didn't expect it. Mm-hmm. You know, if I have a girlfriend who said, you know, I've been praying for you because you've been on my mind about this.
Yes, yes.
Go, oh, you even noticed that I... needed that prayer.
Recently we were in Kansas City visiting family, and I used to live there, and but years ago had opportunity to get acquainted with some people on a deep level there, and but haven't been in touch with them for 20 years probably. And Roy and I were sitting in the living room there in the family's home in Kansas City, and the phone rang. And it was this person that said to my stepdaughter, Jan, would you tell me how to get a hold of Donna? I've had her on my mind for weeks, and I've lost contact. I don't know how to get a hold of her. And Jan said, well, Pat, by the way, she's sitting right across the room from me. And so I got on the phone with this friend, Pat, that I had not talked to in, well, probably been 5 or 6 years at least since I talked to her. And it was just such an encouragement. So somebody that just went to the trouble to pick up the phone, and when she didn't really know how to get a hold of me, you know, made the effort, and there I was. It was just such a blessing to both of us.
Yeah.
What about you guys? What encourages you? I think we women, it's often friends and telephone calls and, you know, talking to one another. And what, well, is anything different for you?
I don't think so. We're probably dragging along behind you girls, but other people can be the greatest encouragement. You know, friendship, someone that can reach out with a hand on your shoulder and help you out. Whether it's a close friend or a stranger. We've returned from Mississippi recently where Annie's mother has just moved back into her flooded house.
Oh.
The water only came up this high into her house.
Oh, yeah. But, that's...
but it, of course, you know, everything had to be redone.
Sure.
All the sheetrock and insulation. We met people who whose homes were completely blown away, nothing but foundation. And I had a chance to go bass fishing with a guy and talk to him a little bit. And the water came up that high in his house. He's a president of a bank. And I said, how are you managing this? You know, did you have insurance that would cover this? He said, well, no, we were out of the flood zone.
The
storm blew the water up. And he said, I was fortunate. I had stock in my bank for 30 years. I've worked with this company. I was able to sell my stock and have enough money to rebuild my house. But many of my neighbors had nothing. And what we found was all the neighbors were pulling together.
Wonderful.
That's huge, isn't it?
Help each other.
Yeah, that's really huge.
We're so independent, we Americans.
Yeah.
Well, and someone said to me, and they said, why, this is such a wonderful country, why did this happen to you? And why did we saw these people that were in New Orleans and flooded and they didn't hear as much as Mississippi, and why did this happen? And it wasn't like, why did God do this? But why, you're such a great, powerful, wealthy nation, why did this happen?
Yeah.
And, you know, part of me got angry about it because, you know, we're not beyond any of us having tragedy happen and either pulling up from it or, and growing from it or letting it get us down and let us take hold of our life. And, you know, I wish I'd got to say that.
Yeah.
But no matter how powerful you are, there's always something that it's going to happen that you're going to know and humble yourself that even the wealthiest and the lowest of us will have the same struggles. And my sister said that. She said, you know, it's amazing, Mississippi. We've encouraged each other and we've pulled together. And black communities and white communities have come together. And people from churches have come and neighbors have come together.
Yeah.
We haven't known each other. And she says, it's amazing. And she laughed. She said, we're all alike. We've all got FEMA trailers with Christmas lights on, and we're all thankful that we have friends if we don't have a house. And we don't. And the people who, in each level, thought about something they didn't have. And I just remember my sister saying that and thinking, you know, that's a wonderful thing to remember, that if we lose something, there's always something that we can think we have. And if we have faith, we know that no matter what we have, that we struggle through, that God's going to get us through it, and by His grace, maybe we can, like Chris says, we're reaching up, we can reach down. And you said something that really touched my heart, Chris, is that, and I struggle with this because I expect more of myself than what I can give, and maybe more than others can. And when you said you've got to remember the grace of God and reach your hand up, I just will take that with me. It's my major thing from this seminar is that you reach down and encourage other people and really forgive them for not being what you want them to be. You've always been there.
That's really good.
And Annie, on that, I think some of the things that have encouraged me have actually been when other people have shared a struggle with me. Because you feel sort of thankful. You know, you can think encouragement always has to be, you know, you're doing the best thing, you know, you're making the best cake or whatever. But actually, just, you know, admitting that you need help. I mean, that really bonds. I know when we moved to Africa, you know, to just go to our African friends, you know, I've run out of this, or could you look after the children, or whatever. Just being needy actually can be an encouragement to each other. That way we don't have to put our best foot, like in England, they said, talk about your best foot forward. Yeah. So that's what you're saying.
I think when we returned from overseas, our children struggled a lot, and I was amazed at the grace that our friends extended to us in our children's failure. You know, it was something you can't hide,
choices they made.
They were angry. They didn't want to be here, and they internalized it. And you know, bad relationships, some drugs, and it was just heartbreaking. You know, we had never experienced anything like this. We'd never had a speck of trouble with our children as long as we were in Indonesia. Mm-hmm. They were wonderful. But I think for us, just seeing Christians, especially Navigator friends, you know, dear Jerry White, he was one of the first ones to say, if there's anything I can do, call me in the middle of the night. If you want to call me in the middle of the night, call me.
It's amazing.
And it was maybe one of the first times that we had needed grace in such a...
So he didn't help the kids, but he helped you.
Right, yeah. And he did. He was willing to find a lawyer for our son. And, you know, he was just anything he could do.
He was reaching out for you.
Right. And, you know, Jerry had experienced a lot of pain himself, and so he could understand this. But I don't know that I had ever been in a position where I needed that kind of grace.
Yeah, yeah.
And when it's your children, you know, that's a place. When it's inside your house, wow, that's when it really hurts.
Yeah.
So, You know, the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures talks about being the Counselor, the Comforter, so we can go to the Scriptures and we know that the Holy Spirit is the one that comes alongside us and encourages us.
I'll just put it in. 2 Thessalonians, yeah. You probably know this verse well, but 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 16 and 17 are amongst my favorite. Have you got it there, Donna?
2 Thess 2:16.
No, I'll just read it. It says, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. And I like the way it emphasizes, you know, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself, you know, he doesn't send a substitute. He wants to be the one to encourage us. You know, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God by his grace, by giving us internal encouragement and good hope, because hope goes closely with encouragement in my life. You know, I lose hope. These are things. And then it works out in every good deed and word. But that's a really worth memorizing if you don't know it.
Yeah. The last 8 months we've had a difficult situation at the office, and it's been very, very exhausting. And in November, I was able to take less than a 24-hour retreat. I went up to a quiet retreat center where it was actually a silent retreat center. And from the moment I got there, I just sat in the Lord's presence. I could hardly open the Bible. I was so tired. I could hardly even read. But I came away so refreshed, so encouraged, so renewed, just by being in the Lord's presence for those hours.
So
I'm eager to do it again.
Great. Thanks, Molly.
Yeah.
It's just this, and he did it himself. He so often uses people, but he also does it himself.
Yeah.
So,
Mary.
For me, he so often does it through his word.
Yeah, in Romans 15:4 it says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. The encouragement of the Scriptures. And it's just amazing how I think, what would we do without the Scriptures? Because, you know, we can say, oh, this friend encouraged me, or this situation, or this circumstance, but... really, the real encouragement, that's where it's at, because it never changes. I can pick this up on a sad day and it says the same thing. I can pick it up on a happy day and it says the same thing. It doesn't change.
And I think that sometimes we can be tempted when we have pain, you know, to get busy in something else or to try and bury it in some way, you know, watch the television. And I think when we had Dallas Willard here, one of the things he brought out was the importance of stillness and the importance of quiet, that it's almost a sign of insecurity in our lives when we can't live with ourselves, with front of the Lord, quietly, and his word, and just be still and listen. And I think that was something I really came away with. You know, enjoy the stillness more, Chris. Have your Bible and just be still and wait until he speaks to your own heart, whether it's to comfort or urge you on.
Yeah, like Neil says, because he's this kind of person, he says, yeah, sit quietly until you stop twitching.
Any other things come to your mind?
I'm going to say something again on something you said just a little while ago about Jerry telling him you could call him in the middle of the night. There was something in my life where a friend said that it doesn't matter what time.
Yeah.
And that gave me such encouragement that I knew that there was someone I could call.
Yeah.
And if they didn't care if I woke them up. And I didn't need to, but just knowing I could,
just knowing that
gave me the courage to go on and do what I had to do. And I've tried to pass that along. If you ever need me, I don't care what time it is. Just call me. You know, sleep. You can sleep at whatever time.
it's easy to say, well, if there's anything I can do to help, that's it. Well, is that the person you're probably going to call? No, it's probably someone who has practically opened up a path for you and explained a little bit about what they think they might be able to do if you need it. So, you know, for Jerry, it was practical things as well as, well, I'm there for you, you know. And sometimes that's just not, I mean, we're in such a fast-moving world that it's hard to believe sometimes that people are really serious that they want to,
yes,
you know, be there for you.
So, you know, I was just going to say, having been a widow, I'd like to mention that.
Yes.
How people were there for me and with me, you know, through some of the dark times, but then I was alone.
Yeah.
And when you have someone going through that kind of grief and pain, don't drop them.
Yeah.
And call them late at night. Late at night is going to be the hardest times to have that. I had a friend call me one night. It was almost midnight. And it was later than that because she was in a different time zone. Just had you on my heart. I had to call you. Made all the difference in the world for me that night.
That's really wonderful.
To having someone be there and just a warm voice that had love in it and concern and compassion.
If you think about the Holy Spirit being our counselor and our comforter, you know, it's when he brings someone to your mind that you should call, like that friend that called you, that is part of his work, is to prompt me to reach out to people in a timely fashion because, you know, often I'll find out after the fact, you know, I think, oh, I was thinking of them yesterday. Why didn't I call? You know, and you realize, well, I wasn't just thinking of them. The Lord was trying to get my attention and I didn't hear it.
And the word for comforter in the Bible is parakletos. And it actually has a twofold side. It has the part of coming alongside and just comforting. It's just like, you know, put your arm around, just be quiet and just be there for them, like you were saying, Donna. And then it has the other half of putting courage into. That's what it actually, putting courage into. And urging people on. Urging people on. And shall I go on?
Yeah, sure.
And I'd just like to share, you know, in 1 Thessalonians, it's a super little book. And if you have time, you know, later to go through it and look at all the words that, where it says encourage, there's just loads. But I'm just going to, and I think Paul's life here has really, in 1 Thessalonians.
Just the whole book.
Yeah, the whole book. And I'm just going to share some isolated thing. Shall I just pass this around then?
Sure.
I can just see the, let me just pass, on one side. But Paul, some of the principles here really have to do with whether it's our kids, whether it's encouraging those who live in our home, whether it's encouraging people who we want to come to faith. The same things apply. You know, our neighbor who we're really praying for and we want to come to faith. Or whether it's someone who's been a Christian a long time and we want to urge them on. But in 1 Thessalonians, the first two chapters, you know, he talks in verse 3. He says, we always thank God for you. This is chapter 1. Mentioning you in our prayers. Verse 2. You know, who is it? Molly or somebody mentioned about the value of somebody saying that they're praying for you. And we've had lots of Christmas cards and some of the old ladies at our church in England, you know, they say, I pray for you every Wednesday morning. You know, and I think, wow, you know, or whatever, but just praying for you. So we can all pray for as a way of encouraging, whether it's an unbeliever or your kids. And then the other thing in verse 5, it says, you know how we lived among you for your sake, being imitators of us. Just living around the people, you know, being around them. And again, we don't have to be the strong one. We can just share our struggles as well.
but living among them, being an example, and just being real and being someone who draws on God's grace because we're needy. So being an example is a way that we can encourage. And then in verse 8 of chapter 2, it says, we loved you so much that we were like, that we shared with you the gospel. Not only our own lives, but you'd become so dear to us. You know, just the whole thing of loving people enough that we have the opportunity to share the gospel, whether it's an unbeliever or whether it's to ourselves, to each other. Because Jerry Bridges has written this book, I can't remember the title of it, but his latest one. But it's basically that we need to tell the gospel to ourselves every day. You know, it's not that we were saved by grace, but we are being saved by grace today. And then we will be on the other side of the river eventually with him. And then in verse 12, in verse 11 of chapter 2, it says, I know how we deal with you as a father deals with his own children. Encouraging, comforting, and urging. That has more the kind of intimately, the personal relationship, and a little bit more of that urging on. Discipline's not the word to use, but urging on. And then in verse 13, it says, when we thank God continually, when you receive the word of God, you heard it and accepted it as the word, not as the word of men, but as it actually was, the word of God. We need to share the word with people. You know, just to share what's encouraged us, what's challenged us, what we're learning. And we can do that even with our unbelieving friends. And someone said to me, just give them a little carrot. Don't give them everything. Just share something about the love of God and what it means to you. And then they might seem interested, but almost withdraw and change the subject. And then next time look for another opportunity to say something else. But if you turn over the page, it's on another. Have any of you seen the hand illustration that we used to have, the hands? So these are five things, sometimes it helps me to remember. I'm someone who remembers pictures, so I remember something that's simple. But in the next two chapters, verses 3, 4, and 5, it has a lot about encouraging people, going on, how we can go on. And some of the same things apply. I've put there inquire. It says that he sent Timothy because he couldn't go to inquire about how your faith, how you were doing. And sometimes just networking, we can network and ask someone else to do it. We don't have to be the answer to everybody's problems. And I've spelt it, it's meant to be with an I, but I've spelt E because all the others are E. And then encourage comes lots of times. I won't go into all of them, but it says we were encouraged because of your faith in verse 7 and 4:18. Therefore encourage each other with these words. And 5:11. Therefore encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Different ways that it uses the word encourage. And exhorting, he says in verse chapter 4, verse I can't see what it is, verse 1. Now we ask and urge you in the Lord that you do this more and more. And somewhere else he says to the Thessalonians, I know you are loving, but I urge you to love even more. It's just a little gentle
encouragement.
Encouragement. And then in chapter 5, he explains. They have a problem about the second coming, and he just takes time to explain and answer their questions. And I think we can do this a lot. People do have questions, and we need to go back to the Word of God and share and answer their questions and share it. And then the one I find very, very helpful is that he entrusted them to the Lord. In the last chapter, in verse 24, talks about, again, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you. But then it says, the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. And I think we need to remember, whether it's with our kids or anyone else, that we need to entrust them to the Lord.
or those that we're praying to encourage. Because I think for many of us, we allow their problems to become ours. And it sort of weighs us down more and more. And he is the only person who can carry us. You know, who was it who mentioned he's carrying us? So he's, I think it was Yella. So he's always underneath and carrying us, and he's carrying our friends. And we need to be careful. I need to be really careful to entrust people, to actually not keep even a little finger. You know, if you entrust a letter in the mailbox in England, we have these nice red pillar boxes. But, you know, you put it in and you can't take it out again. That's what entrusting means. You entrust it to the mail people and you leave it there. So those are just some thoughts on how we can encourage from Paul's life that have really been a blessing to me.
That's really helpful. I just want, something just came to my mind I want to tell you about my dad. He's 87 and he's blind. He's very blind. He has macular degeneration. Last weekend I went out to see him. They live out in Nebraska, a small town. And so when I got there, he said to me, you know, tomorrow morning, Friday morning, he said, I go to the nursing home and I go there to encourage the old people. And he said, so he said, I would really like you to go tomorrow, because every time he sets up a time with somebody for them to listen to that he thinks they'd be interested in. And it's a ranching community, so, you know, one week he'll bring in the brand inspector. And if you don't know what that is, that's the guy who keeps track of all the cattle brands. And so he was going to talk to them about different cattle brands, and they were going to talk about different kinds of barbed wire and, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. And he'll bring in someone who's a wood carver that, you know, just somebody local, or somebody who plays the violin or fiddle or something. So he wanted me to come and talk about our life in Indonesia. So we went to the nursing home, and he's just was instructing me. He says, now you need to talk pretty loud. And he said, and don't be afraid to just do a little witnessing too. Super. And I thought about what a heritage that is to have a parent who, in his old age, in his blindness, he's still thinking about other people, and it's something he can do. And somebody, of course, has to drive him over there. But, you know, he's carrying my box of stuff in there, my show and tell, and he's opening the door for me. And I thought, it's important to do what we can, as long as we can, and as much as we can. And God has given all of us a gift of something you can do to encourage other people, and you probably know what it is. I just wanted to share about him because I'm just so proud of him. And
you should be.
And the other thing about my dad is, though, that growing up, he didn't ever tell us when we were doing well. And so I feel like that's another thing I've learned from him, is for my own children, that when I'm proud of them, when I'm pleased with what they do, or even friends, when they do well, to tell them that. And especially for women, I think sometimes we're afraid to build somebody else up because we think then we're not quite so, well, I don't know, what it's not a good thing at all. But, you know, we're afraid to tell somebody when they're doing well or when they're...
I remember, actually, when ours were at the age of trying to leave their rooms tidy and make their beds before going off to school and in Nairobi. And I can remember I was doing a study on how to get the best out of your children, you know, because it seems like we always seem to manage to get the worst out somehow. And one of the things was to really notice when they do it. And so I started saying, oh, your room's so tidy, Anna. You know, you've made your bed and it's great, you know. And I found that worked so much better than telling them the one time that they didn't.
Or the five times.
Yes.
Yeah. Shall we go on to our...
Yeah,
we've got a few minutes left, and we want to talk about just application, what to do. And we have a little list of just... you can just pass these around. Of just some ideas to... I think I have a couple more, Chris. I guess I don't. If there are any extras, I guess I gave them all to think about
you know, what encourages you? Maybe it's right here. And how do you encourage others? And what do people tell you that about yourself that you know you're able to encourage others in this way? You know, maybe you're good at teaching somebody to knit. Or maybe you're a good cook. Or for you men, maybe you really have some skills that other people appreciate. Or maybe it's just your laugh. So anyway, these are just some ideas that we wrote down just to help us think about encouragement. And I think we should break up in some little groups, maybe four in a little group, three or four, and just talk about some of these things, about what encourages you and or your spouse.
Susan, can I just interject?
Yes,
please. I think something Chris shared is really important that I share, because she's used this with me, all of those things. And I think the scripture is the most helpful, because when you hang up, she's not there anymore. But that scripture is. And I can go back to that and I can use it. And I mean, I can use things she gave me 3 or 4 years ago that I remember, that I can go back and call upon as a truth and replace it with the lie that where it might discourage. Yeah. But I just think that part of your model of encouragement and what you do is probably the most vital. All of it's important. But I just think to remember that's, you're not going to always be there for that person, that word of God is. And that's ultimately where you want to turn someone, and that's just so important.
I totally agree. That's my first preference. And then a little example from my own life. We love this idea of entrusting and putting in a mailbox and you can't get it back, because I can tend to carry other people's hurts or their problems, and it tends to weigh me down. And I, when we were coming out here, I wasn't in the mood. I was feeling heavy with all the things in people's lives. And I just felt I wanted a little space. I wanted to get away from people. And I really didn't even want to, you know, I needed a couple days just for some quiet time. And so we were on our way up to see Paul and Phyllis. We were going to have lunch with them. And I wasn't even in the mood for that as much as I love them. But on our way driving up, we get a phone call. And I answer my cell phone. And it's some news that it's about a child. And I'm just overwhelmed with pain for this person. So by the time we get to Phyllis and Paul's, I can hardly talk. We get out of the car, and I'm really feeling the weight of it. And we get in the house. I'm trying to, you know, be happy. And she prepared a beautiful lunch. And we're so glad to see him. We haven't seen him for a year. And we barely get into the meal, and it just comes out. And I just start to cry. And the first thing that Paul does is he said, let's pray. And we just joined hands, the four of us, and he prayed.
Yeah.
And he felt our pain. He didn't try to, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. And he gave me that little space to express my emotion and my whatever. And then he went back to God, who in turn comforted me. And I was, by the time I left there, I was still feeling pretty down, but during the course of the coming and hearing the word that evening and focusing on other people and prayer.
Yeah.
And, you know, by the next day it was just getting better. And today it's just like, well, yeah. It's just by going back to the word and encouragement, hearing all of you. And so that when Chip says authentic community, how we need each other. And we need other believers to speak his truth into our lives.
Yeah.
And we need their prayers and all of those things you've touched upon. And I just wanted to show my little example from just being here how that's
That's
me.
Wonderful.
And touched all those aspects for
that's
me.
That's wonderful. Yeah, that's wonderful.
So. You know, I think you said something that really touched me when you said, I carry everybody's burden. And years ago, I worked as a counselor, and I've had other people that have come in their problems. And I felt, as a young person, that I had to solve everybody's problems. And I took them, and it was just so heavy on me that I would switch what area I was in. I was in oncology, and then I went to spinal cord, and went to psychiatric. And I realized that what I was doing is I was hearing all this, and I thought it was my mission to cure them or save them or to fix it or, you know, that it was in my hands to do that. And I took on that, and they went away because they were able to just be with me, and I would be working on this problem, and they were just wanting to talk to somebody. Mm-hmm. And when I found out that when somebody gives me permission or I give them permission just to tell me what the pain is, I don't have to fix it. They don't have to fix me. And I tell my husband, you know, women, they don't want you to fix it. They just want you to let them talk. Bless
us. Not at 4 in the morning every night.
But I want a person when they give me encouragement, I want them to be sincere. I don't want them to say, "Oh, you look pretty today. You look so cute." And my husband says, "Oh, you look so pretty." And I look like, you know I don't look good. So, but I think that kind of is what sincere. I thought,
right.
And that's what weighed me down.
Yeah.
But at the root of that, if you would trace back the root of that, is I realize it isn't trusting in the sovereignty of God.
Exactly.
Now, what
that's
you
the root
said,
of that. Exactly.
It's
it.
Not letting God be God in those people's
in
lives
handling.
Or in my life.
Yes.
You know, I got to control it.
Beautiful, because he reached out and took your hand and said, "Let us pray."
Yes.
And him.
That's it. That's the other. That's the other part.
There started the burden to be lifted. You know, because God.
Took me back, like Jonathan, to the Lord to be strengthened.
To the Lord to,
and then his Lord began to draw.
Start to work. That was beautiful. I really like that.
And then it also, when you said that, it said, you know, I don't have to be the sovereign here. I can listen. I can be the encouragement. But the strength is not it's up above, you know. And that's happy. That's the other part that, you know, that gives you that peace when you are troubled or somebody else. You don't have to be the one to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got to, you know, it's a heavy burden to try to think you have to do it to everybody and stuff. But
it's kind of self-righteous, really.
Yeah, exactly.
It's always best to have
And that's where the lovely picture of footprints is so wonderful, because it's it's just one lot of footprints.
Okay, well, now we didn't get our snack. We have a few more minutes, but maybe
yeah, we do. Should we just take? Do you have to go back? I mean, if anybody wants to go back to their room, we could.
Let's just
skip
lunch and keep going.
Oh, okay. We don't need
Lee,
lunch.
You're wonderful. You encourage us.
Yes.
Well, should we do these together? No. What do you want?
I don't know. What should we do?
I think we've got five minutes
to finish at 12:15.
12:15 to finish.
Does your husband speak in the morning? Talk tonight?
Yes.
Let's do two things. Let's think about... have all of you just take a few minutes and think about who do you know that really needs encouragement from you right now. Just think about that for a couple of minutes, and then share with the person next to you. You don't need to move around or anything, and just share. Who that person is and why you think they need encouragement from you. I mean, if it's too personal, of course, you don't want to do that. But and then what you think you might be able to do to encourage them. So can you do that? And then maybe ask yourself that last question on there. Have you finished?
No.
I know you'll never finish, but have you gotten close? We've got, that's good. Go for it. Okay. The other question I have. One more question for you. You may not be able to answer this, but what sacrifices would you have to make in order to do this, to encourage this person?
It's the last question.
It's the last question on your little thing. You know, what is it going to take for you to actually be able to do that? So think about that. You may not need to talk about that, but let's see. You could talk about it for another minute. Or changes.
Oh, sorry,
Gina.
I wonder if she heard us, if we talked too quietly.
She's so sweet.
She is.
She seems to be doing quite well. I mean,
she had a brain operation.
Did she?
To remove water, hydrocephalus.
Recently? No, I didn't know that. That's probably why she seems really better to me.
Might be. It might well be. It might well be. I hadn't thought of that. I only know of that with kids, babies. I've never heard of it with older people. But
no,
I
haven't either.
You haven't either. Shall I just ask Mary or to pray first? Nice. Or Molly or Badia? Yeah, maybe it's nice to ask Badia. Or not, just to finish.
Just thinking.
Yeah, okay.
I suppose it's 12.
Yes,
I need to
off you go.
Phone call.
Yes,
you go
off
right.
You go. Excuse me. Thanks, Lee. Right very, very much indeed.
I'm going to be with you after lunch.
Yes, you are. You're coming over for lunch, after lunch. We asked Kate and Griff to come over because they wanted to see the wedding video, and they said, could they bring everybody else with them?
Drop something there on the bus.
Where? Yeah.
And I haven't even told Chris how much. You know,
is that yours or is it his?
I want to say something about how to tell you, not just encourage you, but tell you how thankful I am. Because I talked to you and I was real emotional about some stuff last time. I thought she just listened. This girl just get real emotional and crazy. And she just gave me such love. And she didn't try to fix it. I just really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
And that's why, Lee, I said, I want to come hear Chris talk. Because I just want to hear how she manages to encourage and do that in such a wonderful way that you really get it. I mean, some people say, I'm going to call you, or how are you? And you don't know if they're really sincere.
You're lovely. You're lovely.
Well, somewhere
just need to go around.
No. Let's just pray. Shall we just?
Yes.
Yeah.
Could
we just stop again a minute? Could we just stop? Susan's going to share something and then pray. Yeah.
I just wanted to mention. Oops, they're not quite done. There's a book that someone recommended to me that, and actually that person was my husband. And so since it's mostly women in here, I just wanted to mention it because he's never asked me to read a book before. I've probably asked him to read a few, but he's never asked me to read one. And it's called For Women Only, and they have it in the bookstore, but he had heard this woman that wrote it speak at a church, and he was so excited about what she had to say. Have any of you read it? I can't remember. It's in the Castle bookstore. They did have it. It's a woman with a strange last name. But anyway, she talks about what men need for encouragement. And it's very different than what women need. And so he really wanted me to read that book. So yeah, I just want to recommend that. For Women Only. It's a woman that is an executive in the business world, and she's been observing men for quite a while.
Why do you pray?
Okay, let's just pray and finish. Thank you so much, Lord, for this good time we've had together, and we pray that you would help us to go from here and be an encouragement to other people, and also, Lord, to learn how to be encouraged in you and how to draw upon all of the wealth of your wisdom and your word that you've given us. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the Psalms, that we can read the Psalms and just be so encouraged so quickly, and all the rest of your word. So we just commit this time to you and all these beautiful people, and we thank you for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.